Are you able to hear my voice out there? Good, thank you. I do want to express our appreciation on behalf of my wife and myself for the invitation to be with you for these next 3 weeks. I should give you greetings from Adventist World Radio. I'm the assistant to the president for that ministry. And on behalf of my wife, who's the president of Mission College, I'd like to say greetings as well. We are doing a lot of work in different parts of the world. And with AWR, for example, we've been beaming into the rebel area of Mindoro for about since 2019. And finally, some of the rebels began to listen in. And making a long story short, 700 rebels surrendered their weapons in exchange for Bibles. And we went there in November and baptized 700 rebels and their families, about 3,000. And the president of the country was so excited that the war that had been fought for 50 years and more than 40,000 people had died as a result of that war could not be ended with bombs or bullets, but it was ended with the gospel. And we met with the president, and he was very appreciative of that reality. And what's interesting is that this past Sabbath, I was supposed to be there, but I couldn't because I was teaching at Weimar. The rebels that were baptized in November vowed that they would try to reach one. And this past Sabbath, 700 rebels were baptized with their families. So what could not be done with any other means was done by simply the preaching of God's word, and that is rejoice in all that God is doing through the mass media, the radio, and all the opportunities that we have. Right now we are working in Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and India, Israel, and there are a lot of exciting things taking place. Presently, there are a lot of evangelistic meetings going on in Peru as a result of Adventist World Radio. And every day, in fact, on my phone, I keep on getting all the reports that are taking place in Peru. Hundreds are being baptized. So even though terrible things are happening in Ukraine, I should tell you the good things are happening as well. For example, a missile was shot at the church. The missile went through the roof, went through the ceiling, went through the basement, and came out through the wall and exploded outside, while all the Adventists were inside worshiping. Then another rocket went through a wall, came through the other side of the wall, and exploded outside. And so there are a lot of Ukrainians now that are getting close to the Adventists because they think that something interesting that is taking place as a result of the Adventists not experiencing the same thing that a lot of other people are experiencing. So let's continue to pray for our people there in Ukraine. It's a terrible thing that's happening, but it's a reminder that we are in the last days of Earth's history. So we should be prepared for what is taking place. This morning's message is called He is Enthroned. And several years ago, there was a revolt that took place. The Albanians finally got their freedom from the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire. And when they did, they decided that they wanted a certain prince to become their king. Edin was his name. But Edin was not too certain that he wanted to be a king of a group that were just broke off from Turkey, because Edin was Turkish. And so he hesitated, but what took place was that near Albania, there was a man who looked just like Prince Edin, and his friend encouraged him to go and take up the responsibility. So he went down there, and they celebrated. For a week, they made him a king. And they gave him a harem, and they did all sorts of things for him. Here he is. And so Albanians now rejoice that Prince Edin had accepted their invitation to be the king. After 1 week, a telegram came from the Sultan of Turkey saying that Edin has just decided to take up the offer. And there was a prize because Edin was there already. So they went to get an answer from Edin. What happened? Well, they couldn't find him. Well, it turned out that he was not Edin at all. He was a guy named Odewit. And here's the picture of Odewit. He was a circus actor who looked just like the prince and became king for a week. He disappeared and went back to Germany after this one-week expose. And the sad thing about it is this, that he took the glory that belonged to the prince. Let's pray together as we study God's Word. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to study your holy word, and we pray that you will bless us with understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to ask you to turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and 2, because we're going to be doing some studying from that book. Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. So I'm going to ask you a question here. When you think of Pentecost, what comes to your mind? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay, what else? Gospel to the world, okay, what else? All right, I'm hearing different responses, so let me put them down. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 10 days of waiting, yes? Then, of course, the upper room experience, the unity among believers, replacing the fallen disciple, power, tongues, and, of course, 3,000 baptized in a day. Is there something missing from this list? Did I miss anything? Is it all there? Can you remember anything else? No. Well, I have news for you. You have something missing. And it's usually the same response that I get from all congregations. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the text. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall, what? Testify of me. That's John 15:26. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. So what was Pentecost all about then? Was it about everything that you just mentioned? Or what was the purpose of Pentecost? It's to reveal who? To give witness of who? Jesus. So who was missing in all your responses? Well, it was Jesus missing. But why is it that people, generally speaking, always give me all these answers but never give me Jesus? Because you have been influenced. You have been what? Influenced. Because most of the emphasis on the book of Acts is about tongues. About who? What? Tongues. Is that true? Yes or no? Most of the emphasis about Acts chapter 2 is the giving of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is mentioned by Jesus himself. It was to be a witness to him. So let's consider what's taking place. The Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples, the apostles, and they began to preach in other languages. And the languages are mentioned there. And in fact, the Greek word is dialectos, from which we get the word, English word, dialect. And so they were speaking in different languages. And the Jews there were shocked, because these people were Canaanites. Galileans. And Galileans spoke a certain broken Hebrew. So there was just like in Spain, the Spanish Jews speak something called Ladino, not Latino, but Ladino.
I am from Sephardic background, Jewish, and so the Ladino is the actual language spoken by Jews who live in Spain. Okay, it's a mixture of Hebrew and Spanish. In Germany, I have family also from the Ashkenazi side. They speak something called Yiddish. And so Yiddish is a mixture of German and Hebrew. And the Galileans spoke a mixture of Hebrew and Galilean. And so the Jews who came there were surprised that these folks were speaking different languages, and they were shocked about that. And so it says they were all what? Amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And that's the title for the whole evangelistic series. What does this mean? Well, Peter got up and began to talk to them and explain to them that he was going to make clear to them what was taking place. And so Peter began with verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by what? By the prophet Joel. Listen, the world is in trouble today. And people are asking, what in the world is going on? The answer to those questions are found in prophecy. Where are they found? In prophecy. So when somebody asks you the question, what does this mean? What should you do? You should give them a prophetic answer. You should do what? Give them a what? Prophetic answer. Now you may say, but I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to have information. And the information is where? In the Bible. So, he begins with the book of Joel. Now, he is pointing to Joel, the prophet, as an answer to the question, what meaneth this?
So now I hope that you're there in the book of Joel. In the book of Acts, reading about Joel. Look at verse 17, and here's what it says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men and your young men, pardon me, shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved. Now, what's interesting, that these verses are verses that are being used today for a different purpose. But God makes it plain that the first primary application of that prophecy is being fulfilled in the day of Christ. Now, you notice that this is the prophecy. Then Peter gives the application. I want you to notice the application. Ye men of Israel, verse 22, these words, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it.
Now I want you to notice something interesting. Most of us are thinking that Joel's prophecy should be fulfilled today. But Peter is led by the Spirit of God to use it as the fulfillment of the days of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Were there any young people having visions in the days of Christ? Yes or no? How old was Mary? How old was John? What about old people? How old was Zacharias, Elizabeth,
How old was Annas and Simeon? Were they young, old, seeing visions? Were there miracles performed in Christ's day? Were there wonders? Yes or no? Was the sun turned to darkness in Christ's day? Yes or no? Yes. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was darkness for a space of 3 hours, correct? Was there blood? Yes. So all the things that happened to Christ have been predicted in what chapter? Chapter 2 of the book of Joel. Notice then it says that he was to resurrect. So the resurrection of Christ is mentioned also.
Now notice then the next prophecy. David's prophecy. The Bible says there in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope." Verse 27. "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, "let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." In other words, he is making it clear that this could not be speaking about David. Then verse 30 says, "Therefore, being a prophet." So David was a prophet. He says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Then it says, "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Can you see so far what's happening? The Spirit of God has led Peter to give an answer to the people from prophecies. And one prophecy was in Joel, and the other prophecy was in the Psalms concerning the seed from David. And then after he uses the prophecy, then he makes the application. So he gives a prophecy, application. Prophecy, application. You see that? Now, so far, I want you to notice something interesting also. The mention of tongues is only within the first few verses. But the rest of the chapter is about who? Jesus. I see you're silent. Notice then, he continues to say, verse 33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." So, Peter is being very emphatic that what happened in those days and the fulfillment of the promise given by God himself had been realized in the person of Christ. And that young people and old people saw visions and had dreams. And so that particular prophecy has already been fulfilled when? In the days of Christ. Are you surprised at that? Yes or no? How many of you have seen this for the first time? Can I see your hands? How many of you have seen it before? Can I see your hands? How many of you don't want to raise your hand? Okay. That's usually the case. All right. Now, here's something interesting. Christ's enthronement was also predicted. So, not only his life, the miracles, the wonders, the blood, the darkness, but also his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his enthronement are all included in chapter 2. Jesus, then, is the center of Acts chapter 2. And it is introduced by the giving of a gift by the Holy Spirit for a reason. But most people have been taken by the great emphasis on tongues, so much so that it has overshadowed what Acts chapter 2 is all about. It's not about the gift, it's about the gift giver. This may be surprising to you, but that's reality. This Jesus, which one? This Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. All right? That's why you're experiencing this. Because something is happening in the courts above. And God in mercy has revealed this to you for the purpose of helping you to understand that there is something that you cannot see that is happening, and God is using something that you can see to point to that which you cannot see. And many times God gives us earthly demonstrations to help us to understand heavenly things that are taking place. And so Acts chapter 2 is revealing Jesus. Who? Jesus. Do you agree with that so far? For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Can you see that? And that's the scripture reading that was read to begin with. That is, it was read from Psalms, and Peter is quoting it. Now, let me share with you several things then concerning this matter. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. The purpose of all this is to help us to understand that Jesus indeed was enthroned. But he was enthroned at the very moment when the gift of tongues came upon the disciples. Let me share this with you. Jesus then is placed where? On the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, perhaps this is not exciting you at this point, but this should really excite you if you understand what is taking place. You see, the disciples had fled for fear of their lives. They had abandoned Christ. Christ went through everything by himself. And once Christ died, they hid in the upper room for fear of the Jews. They thought they were next in line. However, this scattered little flock that the world was laughing at and mocking turned out that God had a purpose. And so the purpose was that his son would come and die, but not remain in the grave. His son would burst the tomb and make it up to heaven and be enthroned and all power given unto him so that that which could not be done before would now be able to be accomplished because his son was sitting on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Are you getting excited? Yes or no? All right, now,
let me ask you a question. When you know somebody who is the right-hand man, what does that mean? What does that mean? I was in gathering with a group of church members. How many of you have heard of in gathering? It's an endangered species, isn't it? A sad thing, because it was the only time. Did you hear what I said? It was the only time when all church members were required to go out and share something about the message. How many members? All members. And that's the time I came into the faith. I remember having to go with cans and with literature and giving people the opportunity to contribute to the work of God. Well, the church members called me. The police had stopped them. So I went to find out what was going on. The policeman said, "Are these your members?" I said, "Yes." "Get them out of here. I'll put them all in jail." I said, "For what?" "They're breaking the law." I said, "Breaking the law? We're a church. We're not breaking the law. They cannot solicit. It's against the law to solicit here without a permit. Do you have a permit?" I said, "We didn't know we needed a permit. We're a church. We're extending the plate to the community. Are you trying to be a wise guy? Get them out of here and yourself, or I'll put you all in jail." I said, "Well, where do you get this permit?" "You have to go to City Hall." Okay. Next day, I went to City Hall to get the permit. And when I went to the office, the lady there, that was the secretary of the city clerk, said, what can I help you with?" I said, I need an application for a permit." She said, "For what?" "So that we can take offerings in the community." "You can't get a permit for that. That's against the law in this city. No solicitation." I said, "Madam, we're not soliciting. We are extending the plate. Sorry, you can't get a permit." So I walked away thinking, what am I going to do? Then a thought came to me. I had just run the program to quit smoking, and the city airport manager had attended and quit smoking. So I was impressed to call him. I called him up. "How are you doing?" "Oh, Pastor, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for helping me to quit smoking." He said, "I tried it every way. Couldn't quit, but thank you for helping me. Now, you help me. How can I help you?" I said, "Well, do you know anybody in City Hall?" He said, "Why? What do you need?" I said, "Well, I need a permit so I can do this, raise funds to continue these programs." "Oh," he said, "that's all you need? Hang up. I'll call you right back." So I hung up. He called me up and he said, "Okay, he's waiting for you. Call him Donnie." "Who is he?" "He's the city clerk. He happens to be my best friend. And I told him all about you, and he said, send him over." So I went to the office, and who do you think I met first? That dear secretary. She saw me there, and she said, "And what do you want?" I said, "I have an appointment." "With who?" And the man heard me speaking, and he came out, and he said, "Are you Pastor Torres?" I said, "Yes." "What are you standing there for? Come on in here." So I walked inside with him, and I could see the lady go. So I went in and sat down. He said, "Can I give you something to drink? Coffee, juice?" No, juice would be fine. He said, "Look, I can't thank you enough for helping my buddy quit smoking. I was really concerned about him. But he said you need something, some permit or something." "Yes, sir, I'm trying to raise funds so that's all you need? Just come right with me." He goes to the secretary and says, "Get that application out." So she pulled it out. And he says, "Fill it out for him. I'll be right back and sign it." So he went back inside. And after a few minutes, he went back outside. "Are you done?" "Yes, sir." He signed it. He said, "From now on, anything the pastor needs, you help him with it, okay?" "Yes, sir." And I could see her face turning red, you know. I felt so bad for her. But I was thankful. I was what? Thankful that I was connected to the right-hand man of the man in charge. You understand? So when you know that you know somebody who is connected to the chief, you have connections. You have what? You have connections. Are you getting what I'm saying? In other words, friends, Jesus has been enthroned at the right hand of the throne of heaven. And you and I are connected. Are what? Are connected to who? To the throne by means of who? Of Jesus, exactly. And when the disciples realized that they had direct connection to the throne, it fired them up. It did what? It fired them up. They went everybody, everywhere preaching the word. They even got into Caesar's palace, Herod's palace. I mean, the gospel was preached by people who were supposed to be frightened, but when they discovered that the Spirit of God was sent as an indication that their Lord had been enthroned, then there was no limit. Are you hearing me? Are you getting excited?
Not yet. Okay.
Listen, Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat where? On the right hand. I can show you verse after verse. When Stephen was stoned, where did he see Jesus? Standing where? On the right hand. Romans 8:34. Who is even at the right hand. Okay? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him where? At his right hand. I mean, I can just show you verse after verse. Jesus Christ who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Over and over again. So the purpose of the gift of tongues was not to give glory to the Spirit, but to give glory to the Son of God. So the same thing that happened in Albania has happened to Christianity. They have taken Acts chapter 2 to elevate the Holy Ghost, who doesn't want that, because his purpose was to come not to elevate himself, but to elevate who? Jesus. So the gift of tongues was sent from heaven through the Holy Ghost to confirm that Jesus was placed on the right hand of the throne. Listen. When Christ passed within the heavenly gates, he was what? He was enthroned amidst the adoration of the angels. As soon as this ceremony was completed, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in rich currents, and Christ was indeed glorified, even with the glory which he had with the Father from all eternity. Here's another statement. The Pentecostal outpouring was heaven's communication that the Redeemer's inauguration was accomplished. According to his promise, he had sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to his followers as a token that he had, as priest and king, received how much? All authority in heaven and on earth, and was the anointed one over his people. So folks, look, many times some of you, I hope only some of you, are afraid to go to a door to invite somebody to a meeting. You're afraid to go and give a Bible study. Could it be that you have not recognized that your Lord is enthroned? And if he is enthroned, then how much authority do you have? How much? How much? All authority. Because you're connected directly to the throne through whom? Through Jesus. The good news is that the earthly event confirmed the heavenly reality. Jesus was no longer a babe, no longer a pauper walking on the earth. He was now enthroned and given all authority in heaven and on earth. If you are a representative of Jesus Christ, then you should feel confident in your Lord. What do you say? You should be able to go and talk to people with all confidence. That's why, even though I was born a poor slob in Puerto Rico, and I mean, my mother was a squatter, and I was brought up in the ghettos of New York City, when I found that Jesus was Lord and King of heaven, it just did something for me. It gave me a sense that I had a mission. I had a what? A mission. And that I had someone who could help me complete the mission, who was directly attached to the heavenly kingdom. And that there was nothing that was left that I could not have. In other words, through Christ, all is accessible to me. Through Christ, all is accessible to you. Sometimes we forget that. We have problems and we let the problems overwhelm us, making us forget that there's one who is greater than our problems, one who is greater than our lack of wisdom, one who is greater than our ability to comfort. He is all and in all, the scripture says. And I believe that. Do you? So, in the Old Testament, we find things called typologies. And one of the typologies is Joseph of Christ. If you notice, Joseph was despised by his brothers. Is that true? All right. Jesus was also despised. Joseph was betrayed. Jesus was betrayed. Joseph was sold. Jesus was sold. And by the way, the price that Judah asked for was 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a slave. Then, of course, Joseph was put in prison. So was Jesus put in the prison tomb. Joseph then, from the prison, was taken directly and put on the right hand of the king of Egypt. And so Jesus, from the tomb, he was taken up to heaven and placed on the right hand. Then Joseph tested his brothers. Jesus tested the disciples. Then Joseph sent gifts as proof that he was who he claimed to be. Jesus also sent a gift to prove that he was who he claimed to be. Then, of course, Joseph was reunited with his father, and Jesus was reunited with his father as well. You see that? Now, you remember when Joseph's brothers arrived in Egypt, they didn't recognize him. Remember that? So when Jesus came down to the earth, they didn't recognize him either, did they? So his brothers then, not knowing who he was, Joseph then tested them. Just like Jesus tested the disciples for 10 days. They were wondering, praying, agonizing, putting aside their differences so they can be about God's business. Well, finally, Joseph then made himself open to them and said, "I am Joseph." And when he said that, they cowered back, thinking he was going to get at them. Well, when Peter said to the people in the Jew in that day of Pentecost, "You have crucified him," they also cowered. And they realized then the reality that they had indeed killed the King of Heaven. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were frightened. And so the response was, "Repent and be baptized." So the scripture says that Joseph, when he said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph," and they come with it back, he said, "No, don't be afraid." And he took care of them. And notice what he says, "Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me what? Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." And so the boys went back. And he had told them, "You shall tell them of all my glory." And Jesus had told his disciples, "When I'm glorified, you shall tell them of all my glory as well." So they hasted back to town to their father, and they said, "Joseph is yet what? Alive." But did Jacob believe it? What's the answer? Oh, the scripture says, "And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not." When Jesus resurrected, how many people believed? Even his own disciples, did they believe it? They didn't believe it. Okay? So here's what's happening. Joseph has sent all sorts of gifts to his father. But his father didn't believe Joseph was alive. So what was it that convinced Jacob that Joseph was alive? I want you to notice what the Bible says. "And when he saw the what? The wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet what? Alive." Okay. So notice then, it was the gifts that convinced Jacob that his son was alive, but not only alive, but that he was sitting where? On the right hand. You see that? So it was the gift in Acts chapter 2 that was supposed to convince the disciples and the people of his day that Jesus also was not only alive, but what? But sitting on the throne. Amazing? So we have the gifts. Listen. Joseph sent gifts to convince Jacob that he was alive and placed on the right hand of the throne of majesty of Egypt. So the gift or the giver? Which one do you want? Which one do you want? How many of you want the gift? How many of you want to give her? Come on. Don't you know how to raise your hand? Listen, when a hand like this is raised, it means that you're not too sure. When somebody dies in America, some dignitary dies in America, what do you do with the flag? If half mast. So when you raise your hand half, what does that mean? So I want to know, how many of you are sure then that Jesus is in the throne and that it is He that you want? Amen. Now you're demonstrating something. Now you may say, Pastor, why do you ask us to raise our hand? Listen, let me say this to you. When that woman who was sick couldn't get to Jesus, what did she think? If I must what? Touch His hand. Let me ask you a question. If she had not stretched forth her hand, would she have demonstrated that she wanted to be healed? Yes or no? No. So, if you want the blessing of God, and you're given the opportunity to respond, by all means, don't just do half-hearted. You know, raise it all up. Let heaven know that you are grateful that we have a risen, living King next to the throne of heaven. What do you say? And is He interested in you? Listen, my wife and I were serving in Guam. I was the president of Guam Micronesia. And we had a telephone from the stateside. And if you use the telephone over in Guam, it costs you $2.50 a minute. So we would always turn it off when we got to Guam and just use the phone till we bought in Guam. That way we wouldn't have to spend that money. So I needed to send my wife back to the States, and she took her violin with her. She's had that violin since she was 10 years old. Anyway, I sent it through the security, but I couldn't see whether or not she picked up all her things, because you had to put things in the conveyor belt and moose through the x-ray machine and all that. But I saw her leave, and as I saw her leave, I thought, she got all her stuff, so I better go. So I went down, got into my car, and started driving away, but I was impressed not to leave. But the problem was that she didn't have her phone on. And I couldn't reach her. I could not call her because I knew that phone was off. So here's what happened. I bowed my head and said, Lord, I know you're busy with millions of calls. But I said, if you would just please nudge my wife, send a beam down to her, and have her call me. And as soon as I said in Jesus' name, what do you think happened? She called me. She said, honey, do you have my violin? I said, no. You have the violin. No, I don't. I said, where are you? I'm sitting on the plane. Oh, no, I said. Quickly, get up and tell the stewardesses or the flight attendants that you left your violin behind. So I got out of my car and I ran up to the place where the security people were. And they recognized me because I also was the chaplain for the police department in Guam. So as soon as they saw me, chaplain, what's the matter? I said, my wife, I just sent her through and she left the violin someplace in there. Don't worry, chaplain, we'll take care of it. So they ran and they found her violin and ran to the plane that was trying to leave, and they gave my wife her violin. And so she calls me. She said, honey, I got my violin. I said, praise the Lord. So I went down to my car. I turned on my car. So I was about to drive off, and all of a sudden it hit me that He would stop and answer my simple request and do for me what I had asked. And what I've discovered is this, that He is not as busy as you and I think. We have one who connects us to the throne of grace. In fact, it says in Hebrews, come unto the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Maybe there's a challenge in your life. Maybe there's something that you think cannot be resolved. But you have one who has all authority and all power. He can help you. But you must accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You must recognize Him as the one who is connected to the throne. And if He is connected to the throne, then that there's nothing that He cannot do. In fact, He told Abraham, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" So this afternoon, are you grateful that you have one who's connected to the throne? Are you? And perhaps you have not seen it that way before. But today, you can say, "Praise God that I have access directly to the sovereign of heaven because of Jesus." And today, you want to thank Jesus for connecting you to the throne. Are you thankful? Would you raise your hand to that and say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've connected me directly to the throne. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for not realizing. And forgive me for getting caught up so much with giving glory to the Spirit and tongues rather than giving glory to the gift giver." Let us rejoice that we have a Savior who is able to do for us and save us to the uttermost. We say amen to that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for what you do for us. And we realize that there's so much that we don't understand. And today, we recommit ourselves to that sovereign God who came down to die for us, to live for us, to rise for us, to be enthroned for us, to mediate for us, and to come back again for us, to take us home. And as we see all things happening all around us, we recognize that time is short. So we pray, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, and save us, we ask, in His name. Amen.